And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. I know you think this is a repeat, but you're wrong. It's just got a lot of similarity. RDDD, a better view. Nope, not going the direction you think we are. Number two, what happens when we take our glasses off? What happens when you don't have glasses? What happens when your contacts fall out? What happens when you close your eyes? Number three, control optics. Ooh, what is that, Dave? I'm not telling you yet. And then we're going to close it out with Right Before Me.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. Nope. Can't touch it. Can't touch it. Entertainment and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866 K-Praise. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. Buckle up, little campers, here we go. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Taking a short break and then we're coming back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesimus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
My father had a serious drink problem. He was a violent man. We experienced a very traumatic youth. And so there was a lot of brokenness and a lot of fracture in my life.
And Tom was skeptical about God. Eventually, though, he agreed to go to church with a friend. He was still hungover from a party the night before when he realized he needed to surrender his life to Jesus.
I was completely changed on the spot instantly. Just felt this profound peace. It's really difficult to describe because so many things are Christian cliches, peace, joy, love. I didn't understand any of that language. I just felt awesomely wonderful.
And what's happened in Tom's life since that day?
I can honestly say I've been worshiping ever since. Just absolutely awestruck by the power of God.
God's power can change your life too, no matter who you are or what you've done. Learn more about this at findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Great. It sounds like we don't have a plan.
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Visit ready.gov/kids and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I probably should tell somebody, hey, you're welcome to reach the show. If you want to send an email, davidspoon@kprz.com. davidspoon@kprz.com. You might have noticed in the last, the show, what are we at? About the middle of January. You might have noticed the show's a little lighter. And the reason is because I gained weight. And so I got to have something to smile about. So I figured I'd do it in the show. How about that? So for all my friends out there who know my forever battle with weight, it's the same thing. I lose 20 pounds, gain 20 pounds. But people say, well, you do that, and it comes off fast, and it comes off slow, goes on fast. No, that's not what happens. That's completely not that way. What, are you ready to hear this? I gain it fast, I lose it fast. I gain it fast, I lose it fast. I must have done this 10, 15, 20 times in my lifetime already.
Bothers me is when I lose weight, people always say, oh, yeah, I can see you've lost weight. I can really see it in your face. I must have a real fat head and face.
I can really see it in your face. Your stomach, however, is the exact same.
Yeah.
Okay, I know. All right, let's get into our teaching. Do we have a sound for this? We do? All right, go ahead and play that sound. It's called A Better View.
Blue blocker sunglasses. They're really different.
My name is Geek. I put them on as a shocker. Man, I love these blue blockers.
Did that guy make any money from that rap song, or is that in the early days of rap?
Well, he became famous because he's some guy like out on Venice Beach that just freestyle raps, and he's still out there to this day.
All right. I want to talk about a pair of blue blockers. Actually, I want to talk about the Christian pair of glasses, the necessities. So we had talked about fixing your vision last hour. This hour, I want you to understand it from the other point of view, and that is you and I have been given different scriptures by which we are supposed to operate. And those scriptures, a lot of people will make fun, oh, well, it's just one passage. In this case, this passage has about 362 references throughout the New Testament. So we've got a lot of backup here, right? It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It's not even a long verse, but it is an important verse. It says, for we live by faith, not by sight. So it's difficult for people who are marginal Christians to even accept that. Well, I mean, yeah, you just use faith in your emergency situations. But that is not what a Bible-believing, born-again Christian functions in. A Bible-believing, born-again Christian functions in the understanding that when we view something, there has to be faith integrated into that viewing. There has to be a Christian pair of glasses on for us to have a better view of what's taking place. Because if you don't look at your life through faith, you do not see your life with God. And there it is. There's nothing you got to defend. Let's talk about it from an example point of view. And that you couldn't do better. I think it's impossible. I shouldn't say that, but it's difficult to do better than this example, Romans 4, 18 through 21. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said of him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. I don't know. The guy is 100 years old. Do you know what the scripture means when it says his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old? That's exactly what it means. What you just thought is exactly what it means. It's Abraham ain't having kids. That's over. Sarah was 10 years younger than Abraham, we find out. She was 90 years old. Her womb was also dead. So his ability to give life was dead. Her ability to give life was dead. They was dead. I don't know how you can say that any clearer. These are people that if you look in the natural, they would have gone. They would never have gone to a fertility clinic. They're too old. The dude's about 100. She's about 90. Program is over. Start decorating grandma and grandpa. I mean, that's the whole mindset here, right? However, God had promised Abraham that he was going to have offspring. And in his heart, he believed that he was going to have offspring. I got a message for you. You can't be 100 years old and your wife is 90 years old and God says you're going to have a baby and look at that circumstance and not use faith. Can't be done. Now consider your circumstance, which might be as dramatic or maybe not as dramatic, and then consider whether or not you are looking at this with faith. It's scripture says in verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. It's not like Abraham was in denial. It's not like he was going, yeah, no, I'm like 30 years old. He wasn't saying that. He just looked at that and said, yeah, but God said, and he didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. And that's the difference between you and I walking and living by faith or walking and living by sight. There is no common sense to look at a circumstance and believe that life is going to come where there can be no life generated. And yet that's exactly what Abraham did and exactly what we're called to do. We're called to live by faith. I understand we need to have faith in the testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. And by our connection and acknowledgement and reception of the testimony of God, the righteousness of God that comes through Jesus Christ is placed upon us in a propitiation element, and that we are, in fact, imputed as righteousness by God. That's what faith starts. But faith doesn't stop there. Faith also says the next step I take with God. The next circumstance I encounter with God. For he is with me. And if we live by faith and not by sight, then you have to have a better view. I have to have a better view of how I see. Because if your circumstance is bigger than God, you've made your circumstance God. But it's not. And when we walk by sight, let's be honest. It's depressing. When you look at a circumstance and there's no hope, it's depressing. Yeah, I'll give you a perfect example because I like doing this where people can identify. Have you ever been at your job? And you just go, this is going nowhere. And you just can't see anything ever emerging or changing. And you think it's going to be the same thing all the time, just like banging your head against the wall. Wait. But then out of nowhere, something happens and your job changes. And it has a new dimension and you didn't anticipate it. Now it's different. How'd that happen? That's because in every circumstance, the Lord is able to bring his hands to bear and change it. But you and I need to get a Jesus pair of glasses. No, they don't have to have a big J in front of each eye. They just have to have a big faith above each eyebrow so that you can see with faith. Because why? Well, because we live by faith and not by sight. As Christians, that's how we live. I mean, you get that, right? How we live. You know how you live with food? You got to live with faith. I mean, it's like that's working together. Because when we see it, oh, man, when you see it, you have hope in every circumstance. Oh, this is a disaster. However, the Lord can change this in a moment. Right? How long does it take for a miracle? Only takes a moment for a miracle. And God is a God of miracles. And he might bring one in your life. You'll never see it if you don't have faith. What I want to do is talk about when we take the glasses off, what happens? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Only what's done for Christ will last.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Joe Stoll. Joe writes, "Several years ago, my wife and I stayed in a rustic bed and breakfast in the remote Yorkshire Dales of England. We were there with four other couples, all British, whom we'd never met before. Sitting in the living room with our after-dinner coffees, the conversation turned to occupations with the question, 'What do you do?' At the time I was serving as the president of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, I assumed that no one there knew of MBI or its founder, D.L. Moody. When I mentioned the name of the school, their response was immediate and surprising. 'Of Moody and Sankey? That Moody?' Another guest added, 'We have a Sankey hymnal, and our family often gathers around the piano to sing from it.' I was amazed. The evangelist Dwight Moody and his musician Ira Sankey had held meetings in the British Isles more than 120 years ago, and their influence was still being felt." Joe continues, "I left the room that night thinking of ways our lives can cast long shadows of influence for God. A praying mother's influence on her children. An encouraging co-worker's words. The support and challenge of a teacher or a mentor. The loving but corrective words of a friend. It's a high privilege to play a role in the wonderful promise that His love continues through all generations." You can access the daily devotional wherever you go with the Our Daily Bread mobile app. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Talking about viewing, having a pair of Christian glasses. And without reservation, we need to understand that we live by faith and not by sight. You walk by sight, your faith drops down pretty much like what happened to Peter, who was walking on the water and looked at the waves and listened to the winds, and his faith dropped down and he sank. Fortunately for him, Jesus was close enough, and fortunately for us, he's always close enough to help us so we don't drown. But I want to take this into this next little realm, and I want to share a personal story. And if you're a person that has, "Oh, I have a hard time with those," then just ignore it and listen to the rest of it. But you're hearing it and you're listening to it, so there must be something to it for you, hopefully. I was in Mesa, Arizona. A lot of people know Mesa, Arizona. It's next to Tempe, which is next to Phoenix and Scottsdale and Glendale, as I was telling Tugboat Todd. And I went on a fast, and I did probably in my past, I did probably 10 major fasts. And to me, a fast is going without, and I did do most of the fasts with just water. Is most of them, not all of them, but most of them. The idea is, you know, to maybe tune out a little of your body and your mind's excessive needs and try to recognize that when you're hungry and or even thirsty, that you turn your focus or your concentration on the Lord. Of course, you always want to do things with, you know, wisdom and so on. So I never did this where I was, you know, just crazy and went, you know, a bazillion days or some kind of mindset like that. But I remember at the end of the fast, it was a 3-day fast that I hadn't gotten any, like there was nothing. Sometimes fasts are fantastic and you're just really in touch with things and you know, and you can just sense you're drawing closer to the Lord, and sometimes you get nothing. So I wasn't getting very much. And I told the Lord, I said, I'm kind of disappointed, you know, because, you know, I was, you know, looking to get something, and I'm not seeing anything coming out of this, right? Watch this. And that's when I felt like the Lord shared something with me. And you can just work through this and follow the process. But that's when I felt like the Lord was sharing, it's not by what you see, but it's by what you can believe. And the irony behind that is I was looking at my own fast and not seeing anything versus believing that God was doing work in my life while I was fasting and trying to find him. So by my own definition of what I was looking for, I couldn't see it because I was trying to see it the way I wanted to see it, and I wasn't believing it. And it was one of those fasts where you think, well, you know, how do you know it's from the Lord? And here's my answer. 37 years later, I'm still using the same word. I know it's from the Lord. There's not a lot of question. But the thing is, we need to see with faith, not in the realm of sight. And so I'm going to share a story with you. You can walk along with me. I'm going to try and get through it pretty fast, and then I'm going to drop the very most important line at the end. So I want you to understand that. 2 Kings 6, 8 through 17. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place. The Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on that place indicated by the man of God. And time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet who's in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men to capture him. The report came back that he's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, the army with the horses and the chariots had surrounded the city. Now, I want you to get this. Here's a king who's going after the king of Israel. Every time he tries to do something, the Lord tells Elijah what it's going to be. So Elisha tells the king of Israel, hey, this is where he's going. Hey, this is what he's doing. So every time this guy makes a plan, Elisha, he's ruining the plan by telling the king of Israel what the plan is. And now that king is like freaking out going, okay, who's a betrayer? What's going on here? And they're like, no, this is all happening because of Elisha, the prophet. And they said, okay, where is he? He's in Dothan. Send the armies. Send the chariots. Send everybody. Go after him. And so now the armies have surrounded the city, and now Elisha's servant goes outside in the morning, perhaps to get water or whatever the case may be. He walks outside, and this is what happens. He walks outside. Oh, no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Their armies have surrounded the city. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. What a story. And so here, the servant to Elijah is, you know, working with Elijah. He comes out, and there's this army, Aram's army of all the Arameans, they're all over the place, and he's like, oh no, what are we gonna do? Let me tell you what that guy was looking at. Not abnormal. He was looking at the armies that were getting ready to kill him and his boss. But Elisha prayed and said this prayer, open his eyes, Lord, so he may see. And as soon as the Lord opened his eyes, the servant's eyes, then the servant saw chariots of fire all around. And all of a sudden, he could see what was really going on. And that's the army of Aram was about to take a beating because the army of God was there. Now, what's amazing is that the servant of Elijah, who's, you know, Elijah, man of God, couldn't see it. The armies couldn't see it. The king of Israel couldn't see it. Nobody saw it until Elijah prayed that God would open up the eyes of his servant, and then all of a sudden he gets to see with clarity what's really going on. That is what we're talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That God would open our eyes so we can see what's really going on. So that God could show us what's really taking place. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again, that if God for a moment took the scales off of our eyes and we saw all the demons and all the angels present, too many of us would have heart attacks and freak out and die because it's going on all around us and we never see. So what's the big statement in this whole process? This is the big statement, the one thing I want you to get. Why do we need to see with faith? Because if we stop seeing with faith, we take over. When you stop seeing with faith and you start looking by sight, you take over. And what the servant of Elijah saw was what was natural to see, but didn't involve God. And as soon as God opened his eyes, now he's looking with what God in the picture. And with God in the picture, it's a mighty different picture. The situation drastically changed in 1 second. As God said, take a peek. And it was like, whoa. Now, I imagine that brought a lot of comfort to the servant of Elijah because he was like, that's right. I'm on the right side. I got this going on now. But for you and I, we've got to stop that process of dropping or taking off the glasses. Because as soon as we take off the glasses that give us the Christian view, as soon as we stop seeing with faith, we take over and you can't see what's really going on. Now, isn't that important? Yeah, that's important. We need to see what God knows and shows. But you can't do that without seeing in faith. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Sometimes we want to tackle things on our own, like fixing a leaky toilet or duct taping a small crack. Other times we need to skip the do-it-yourself attitude and get somebody who knows what they're doing so the job gets done right. Excalibur Roofing gets the job done right for new roof construction, old roof replacements, and repairs. With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded, and testimonials from people just like you, Excalibur Roofing is your knight in shining armor. There's a big difference between a general contractor and a roofing contractor. You want a roofing contractor like Eric at Excalibur Roofing. Otherwise, it's just like going to the family pediatrician and saying, Doc, I need some brain surgery, so just pull out that scalpel. I can get her done. Not a smooth move. Get it done right. Just call Excalibur Roofing at 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. Or go to their website at excaliburroofing.com. All estimates are free. Call Eric at 760-743-8803. Remember, Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered.
A beloved McDonald's worker with Down syndrome just celebrated 30 years of service with the fast food company. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Russell O'Grady first donned the fast food restaurant's uniform in 1986 when he was just 18 years old. Now, 30 years later, he's a local hero at North Mead McDonald's in Sydney, Australia. His father, Jeff O'Grady, told Daily Mail Australia his son had become the best-known person in North Mead since he started working at McDonald's. He told the paper, people stop him on the street and shake his hand. He's very affectionate, dearly loved and appreciated, to such an extent that we just don't believe it. Jeff said he was extremely proud of his son, but never thought the community would embrace him the way it has. He said his son's career has given him a different outlook on life, telling reporters, somebody said to him, are you handicapped? And his answer was, I used to be when I went to school, but now I work at McDonald's. Jeff said the staff at North Mead McDonald's accepted him with open arms and made Russell's work life more enjoyable than he thought possible, adding, these people are absolutely fantastic. If it wasn't for their attitude, he wouldn't still be working. Store assistant Katie Kleider told Daily Mail Australia that Russell made the restaurant a brighter place. She says Russell's job is to clear trays and sweep the restaurant, but his favorite job is to greet customers. More than 20 years ago, a group of Christian pioneers partnered in a bold new approach to health care based on principles found in God's Word. They called it MediShare. Today, with over 20,000 members, it's a national community of believers who love God and share each other's medical expenses. And it's half the cost of insurance. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Having a good time with Tugboat Todd as we go through Scripture, looking at the challenges of making sure that we see things the way that the Lord would like us to look at things, so that we would live by faith and not by sight. Because if you live by sight, you become the controller. It's how you view it. It's how you see it. When we live by faith, it's how God declares it and our acceptance of that declaration. I have a message for you. Those who are living by sight are going to see a sight when the Lord Jesus returns, and then they're going to wish they had lived by faith. But of course, at that point, it will be too late. So one of the things we talked about in the very first segment was having a Christian pair of glasses, making sure that we see things with Jesus Christ. And then we just talked about the fact that if you take off those glasses, you know, we kind of take control. We kind of take over. So I want to take this moment to share a story. Can I share a story? Is that okay? Personal story. I'm going to try and say it really, really good. All right. If I don't, forgive me. I was in Little League in Southfield, Michigan for years. For several years, I was in Little League. I enjoyed Little League. I was really good, okay? Even though my very first year, I was like the guy who struck out in the first actual pitching game, and then we lost the game, and everybody goes, good job, Spoon. Anyway, so I went through that just like everybody else. But in my next succeeding years, I got better and better and better. By the fifth year, I was on a team called the Yankees, and we were playing for the city championship. I led the league in home runs, triples, and singles, had two errors, and was 10-0 in pitching. Right? Feeling pretty good about myself? You bet. I played first base religiously, except for every once in a while I wanted to play catcher. Why? I don't know. Just seemed like something interesting. I guess I wanted to be more involved in the every pitch action. So we were playing, and our team was playing, and we were destroying this team. I mean, they couldn't hit. I mean, if I had thrown a watermelon, you know, perhaps they could have, you know. But I'm playing for, I'm just saying, they just couldn't hit anything. I'm just kind of giving you an idea. So I'm playing first base, playing first base, playing first base. Last inning comes up. We're killing them. I mean, it's by 20 runs. They didn't do mercy rules back then. And I thought, you know, this whole side's going to strike out. It's batter 7, 8, 9. I'm going to be the catcher. Then when the last pitch comes, I'm going to get the ball, and I'll hold the ball up and jump up and down, and then everybody will have to run to me. Yep, that's what I'm doing. So I went up to the coach, and I said, I want to play catcher. I had way too a phenomenal year for him to even say a word. He was like, sure, no problem. So I get in the catchers. I knew how to play. I know how to play all the positions. And so the first guy strikes out. I'm just like, yeah, yeah. Second guy strikes out. I'm like, yeah, yeah. I got this. I'm controlling this. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. 0-2. No problem. Next pitch. Guy hits the pitch. Ball dribbles down at 5 miles an hour to first base. The place I just gave up. First baseman filling in for me, grabs the ball, steps on the bag, jumps up and down, holds the ball. Everybody from the team comes rushing out to him. I stand up behind the plate and go, well, that didn't work. That's because trying to control is what we fall into when we don't see with a confidence in God. We just take over. We try and do everything. Would you like some scriptural backup? You bet I could give you a ton, right? Let's just use this one. James 4, 13 through 15. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. What happens when you take off the Jesus glasses is you try to take control. When you see something without seeing Jesus, you try and take over. I'm in Little League trying to control the atmosphere of 18 players, coaches, and about 300 people watching. Guess what? Didn't work out. Guess what the scripture's saying? Okay, all you guys that are saying, okay, we're going to go here. We're going to do this. We'll go here for a year and do this and blah, 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 blah. And then the Lord's like, okay, you know the steam, that thing? You know what the vapor is? And I think I had mentioned this not that long ago. My wife got a new humidifier. And she was gone one morning, took the dog out, and I looked up and I looked at the humidifier. And you know what? It was just blowing out vapor. And four inches from the lip of the humidifier to the top, 4 inches, you just see vapor. At inch number 5, there was nada. There was nothing. Nothing existed because it dissipates. It disappears. Well, that's what the Lord says our lives are like. It's like, hey, you know that vapor? You know that thing on there, humidifier? That's kind of like you. Like, what? Because when we take off our glasses, we try to control, and the Lord thinks, sometimes I think, he thinks it's funny. Sometimes I think he doesn't think it's funny. Then you and I try to control it, and we try to function and coordinate everything. Well, in fact, all we are dust in the wind, and that's why we need to keep our Jesus glasses on. Because when we try to do it in our power and our wisdom and our strength, we are guaranteed one result: fail. But if you keep the glasses of Jesus on and see what you're going through with God, you can get through. That's it. You just either walk by faith or by sight. Pick one. But when you walk by sight, you try to control it all, and it turns into a mess. Doesn't it? It often does. It's one of the reasons in John 15, 4 through 5, Jesus said, remain in me, which means live. And I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's what we try to do when we don't put our Jesus glasses on. We try to do something without God, and it turns into nothing, if not disastrous. So the lesson that we get out of that, the things that we pull from all this, is you put those Jesus glasses on, you make sure you understand that you live by faith and not by sight, you recognize that as soon as you stop seeing with faith, you try to take over, and you should recognize that when you try to take over, you need to recognize you're a vapor. You taking over is a bad idea. because only God has all of the circumstances and all of the surroundings in the palm of his hand. So if you get in the palm of his hand, then it's all covered. But if you try and do this outside the palm of his hand, you get what you get. How's that working out?
Not so good, right? Because it's hard.
And you know what? I think sometimes it's hard to walk in that faith. I think it's difficult. But we need to remind ourselves time and time and time again. There is a king who runs the universe, who has control of this earth and every other planet, and every facet in your life to the level where he knows how many hairs are on your head. So do you think what you're going through is important to him if he's already got the numbers of your hairs on your head in a calculator and he's adding it or subtracting it every day? Do you think that what you're going through that moves your heart is important too? Yes. Thank you. We need to get our lives in alignment with him. We need to keep those glasses of faith on and active. And every once in a while, you need to take a tissue off and take the glasses off and clean off the glasses. Because somehow or other, when we put a hat on or we drink some food or eat a sandwich, some kind of flick of the food comes and lands on the glasses. And you got to clean them off. If you do that, your life will be better. How about that? Do you want the right pill to take to make your life better? It's called a gospel. Try that one. That's the one that'll give you a better life. See it with Jesus. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Wow! In addition to being experts at new roof construction, old roof repairs, remodeling and maintenance, did you know that Excalibur Roofing is also an expert in waterproofing? That's right. No water allowed. Sorry, rubber ducky. From using the top-of-the-line Life Deck systems for deck coating to flat or sloping roofs, Excalibur Roofing covers the angles. Get it? With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded in roofing classifications, plus testimonials from people just like you, you can count on Excalibur Roofing. Call 760-743-8803. That number again, 760-743-8803. Or go online to their website at excaliberroofing.com. The best part of all their estimates are free. Just give them a call. What have you got to lose? But leaks, not onions. 760-743-8803. For residential or commercial help, remember Excalibur Roofing. They've got you covered.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. Why is worry wrong for a Christian? Well, there are several reasons. Certainly it's needless because of God's provision, senseless because of God's promise, useless because of our inability to do anything, and faithless because by worrying, we become a kind of unbeliever. To worry about the basics of life is then a serious sin and uncharacteristic of true faith. The Bible says that God knows all our needs and will supply them. To worry then about food, clothing, and physical welfare is to have a worldly mind. What about you? Do you worry or do you trust? Does your Christian faith affect your view of life? It should. Trust the Lord and be a portrait of His grace.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the left's attack on people who choose to live out their religious beliefs.
To many of these elitists, religion is just like a glorified social club. But they mock Rupert Murdoch, who is raising his children as Catholic, and the Wall Street Journal managing editor, Robert Thompson, who both being Catholic, and they mock them. Murdoch baptized his kids in the Jordan where John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And they were making fun of that. As if, you know, why is this guy doing this? You know, I had the privilege of actually baptizing my youngest son in the Sea of Galilee. And it was a very significant moment. It's something that I don't think he'll forget. I certainly won't. So these things matter to people of faith.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, IA. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. We have been talking about walking in faith and not by sight, and we discussed the necessity of a Christian pair of glasses for many of us, needing to put these glasses on a daily basis, like when you get out of bed, before you even get into the coffee. I know the coffee is where you wake up, but the blood is where you find forgiveness, so you want to keep those separate. And then we shared about what happens oftentimes when you take those glasses off, how we kind of descend into control freaks without being honest about it. We just like, well, now I got to do this. I see it this way. I got to function this way. And it's like, calm down. Because the idea that you and I can control everything around us and all of our circumstances, I think is fascinating. And I think you get to participate in some of that control. But even when you got fabulous literature that says you're the master of your own destiny, that works until, you know, something super, super serious happens in your family and you have to rearrange everything. And then you find out your life is like a vapor. And you can find out that somebody knows better and you better keep aware of that. So we talked about the fact that if we over try to control with control optics, we really find ourselves in a pretty negative place. And so we need to be aware, as we close this down, of two major points, kind of like summation points, but different scriptures that have to do with our dependence upon the Lord, but also has to do with our necessity to walk by faith and not by sight. The first portion of this is coming out of Acts 17, 24 and 25, where it says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." So from the independence, I'm in control, I built this, our government built this, we did this kind of point of view, which is my nice way of putting everybody into that pot. God gives us breath, and nothing that you have ever accomplished, ever, did you ever do without God, ever, if it involved you breathing. I don't care what it is. Your negative things that you do, he permitted and decided not to wipe you out. That was his mercy. But everything you've done in your life, that you've built, that you've accomplished, that you've created, is not of your power unless you're the person that designated you can have breath, and also the same person who designated when you'll take your last one. So you better be careful, because only the Lord is in control. Everything else is pretty fantasiacal. The second part of that, though, going back to the we need to walk by faith and not by sight element, has to do with one of my favorite verses and many people's favorite verses, and that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Very important about this. Trust in the Lord, get this, with all of your heart. Which, guess what doesn't mean? Part of your heart. That's what it doesn't mean. You know, when it says all of your heart, there's a reason. And that's because a lot of us trust the Lord with part of our heart. And he's like, no. I want 100%. I'm 100%er or nothing. So we trust him with all our heart, and we lean not on our own understanding, which is what you fall into when you just look at a situation through your own eyes, your own understanding. In all our ways, we're supposed to acknowledge him, which is another way of saying being mindful of him and recognizing him. And then he'll make our path straight. So he'll direct us. You see, here's what it really comes down to the in the nutshell of it all. We need to see every aspect in life with God. I understand there are agnostics and atheists who do not share that. I understand that. I understand there is a worldly system that does not accept that. I got it. I understand that Satan's chief desire is to move you from this point. I get it. But that doesn't change what you and I need to do. And that's see every aspect of life with God. Other people may choose not to do that. And you're entitled to pray for them, talk to them, try to persuade them. But you're not entitled to lose your faith because of them, because it's your choice to walk in faith or to walk by sight, since the Lord has given you all the ammo you will ever need, all of the support you will ever need. It then becomes a decision. So when you wake up in the morning, do you want to see the way that God wants you to see? Or do you want to see the way you think you understand the universe and run your existence that way? Faith is the vehicle that God has chosen for us to walk with him. Nobody is entitled to say to God, well, I don't like that. Because the answer is too bad. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk by faith. If you're going to walk by sight, you're going to miss God. Now, why would you do that? Why? You think God's up there? God's like the NFL. He's like the no fun Lord. Like, no, it's not like that. There's nothing cooler than engaging with the king of the universe. You just don't know it yet. You haven't done it. Do it. Walk by faith, not by sight. Be blessed in your life. Don't take control. Acknowledge his control. It'll help you. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a 22-hour break, and then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise 1210 AM KPRZ.